Now it's going to December 20th, 1934. One evening, as I entered my cell, I saw the Lord Jesus exposed in a monstrance under the open sky. Last week already, just repeat. As it seemed, at the feet of Jesus, I saw my confessor, and behind him, a great number of the highest ranking ecclesiastics, clothed in the vestments, the like of which I had never seen except in this vision. And behind them, groups of religious from various orders. And further still, I saw enormous crowds of people, which extended far beyond my vision. I saw two rays coming out from the host, as in the image, closely united but not intermingled. And it passed through the hands of my confessor, and then through the hands of the clergy, and from their hands the people, and then they returned to the host. And at that moment, I saw myself once again in the cell which I had just entered. So this father is Father Sopoko. He is chosen to be the helper of Sister Faustina. So through him, the grace go on to the clergy first, and from the clergy to the people, and then from the people back to the host. December 22nd, 1934. When it was possible for me to go to confession during the week, I happened to get there when my confessor was saying Holy Mass. During the third part of the Mass, I saw the infant Jesus, a little smaller than usual, and with this difference that he was wearing a violet tunic. He usually has a white one. They got the third part of the Mass because it's the old rubric, no? Because before the Vatican II, I think after consecration is the communion part. Very important for them also, the communion part. December 24th, 1934, the vigil of Christmas. During the morning Mass, I felt the closeness of God. Though I was hardly aware of it, my spirit was drowned in God. Suddenly I heard these words, "You are my delightful dwelling place. My spirit rests in you." So I think Jesus wants to rest in all the souls, not only in her, but she's ready. But aren't we ready? Give Jesus the space to rest in our soul. After these words, I felt the Lord looking into the depths of my heart and seeing my misery. I humbled myself in spirit and admired the immense mercy of God that the Most High Lord would approach such misery. We must be humble also. During Holy Communion, joy filled my soul. I felt I was closely united to the Godhead. His omnipotence enveloped my whole being. Through the whole day, I felt the closeness of God in a special manner. And although my duties prevented me throughout the whole day from going to chapel, even for a moment, there was not a moment when I was not united with God. So, not necessarily go to the chapel. If you're doing the will of God anywhere, you can be close to the Lord. Don't tell yourself, I'm in the kitchen. I'm just washing clothes. Nothing special, but it's very special. If it is the will of God, and that's the time we can be close to Jesus. I felt him within me, more distinctly than ever. unceasingly greeting the Mother of God and entering into her spirit, I beg her to teach me true love of God. And then I heard these words: I will share with you the secrets of my happiness this night during Holy Mass. I think this is Our Lady talking to her. We had suppered before 6 o'clock. Despite all the joy and external noise accompanying the sharing of the wafer and mutual exchange of good wishes, I did not for a moment lose the awareness of God's presence. Recollected, even though the outside world is still celebrating, oh, Bona Pasqua, Bona Pasqua. After supper, we hurried away to finish our work, and at night, I was able to the chapel for adoration. I was allowed to stay up and wait for the midnight mass. I was delighted to have three time from 9 until midnight. She's free. She used her time for adoration. Do we use her free time to be close to Jesus, or just to use these gossips? From 9 to 10 o'clock, I offered my adoration for my parents and my whole family. From 10 to 11, I offered it for the intention of my spiritual director in the first place, thanking God for granting me this great visible help here on earth, just as He had promised me. And I also asked God to grant him the necessary light so that he could get to know my soul and guide me according to God's good pleasure. And from 11 to 12, I prayed for the Holy Church and the clergy, for sinners, for the missions, and for our houses. I offered the indulgence for the souls in purgatory. 12 o'clock, December 25th, 1934. Midnight Mass. As Holy Mass began, I immediately felt a great interior recollection. Joy filled my soul. During the offertory, I saw Jesus on the altar. Incomparably beautiful. The whole time, the infant kept looking at everyone, stretching out his little hands. During the adoration, the child was not looking toward the chapel up, but up to heaven. After the adoration, he looked at us again, but just for a short while, because he was broken up and eaten by the priest in the usual manner. So she saw the host is the baby Jesus. Usually, baby Jesus look at each one of the community. Only by elevation, and Jesus look up in heaven, and then look up one another. Do you feel in the Mass that Jesus is looking at you? Huh? You feel this closeness? Jesus really loving you, each one, so close, looking at you, watching you, blessing you. Have this feeling? If Lord, listen to what she's experiencing. I think Jesus, yes, but only we, our heart is so wandered, so we don't have the space. And we don't believe there's a problem. That's we don't have so much trust. That's another problem. That's why Jesus gave the word, I trust in you. The next day, I saw the same thing. And the third day as well, it is difficult for me to express the joy of my soul. The vision was repeated at three masses at the same time as in the first ones. The first Thursday after Christmas, and completely forget it was Thursday, and so did not make my adoration. At 9 o'clock, I went directly to the dormitory with the other sisters. But strangely enough, I could not fall asleep. It seemed to me that I had not yet done something that I was supposed to do. She forgot. Every day is so beautiful. One day, Monday to Wednesday, oh Jesus, the baby Jesus. So she forgot all the dates. Mentally, I reviewed all my duties and could not recollect anything. This lasted until 10 o'clock. At 10, I saw the sorrowful face of Jesus. Then Jesus spoke these words to me. I have been waiting to share my suffering with you. For who can understand my suffering better than my spouse? So, spewed joy for 3 days, but she had to go to reality to face the real faith. Well, Jesus is always real. Even baby Jesus is real, and the suffering Jesus is real. But Jesus waiting for her, and she forgot this day with suffering Jesus. I asked pardon of Jesus for my coldness, ashamed and not daring to look at the face of the Lord Jesus, but with a contrite heart. I asked him to give me one thorn from his crown for her penance. He answered that he would grant me this favor, but not until tomorrow. And immediately the vision disappeared. In the morning, during meditation, I felt pain, a painful thorn in the left side of my head. Now she asked for just one piece. The suffering continued all day. I meditated continually about how Jesus had been able to endure the pain of so many thorns which make up his crown. Just one little one. And Jesus, the whole head. I joined my sufferings to the sufferings of Jesus and offered it for sinners. At 4 o'clock, when I came for adoration, I saw one of our words offending God greatly by sins of impure thoughts. I also saw a certain person who was the cause of her sin. My soul was pierced with fear, and I asked God, for the sake of Jesus' pain, to snatch her from this terrible misery. Jesus answered that he would grant her that favor, not for her sake, but for the sake of my request. Now I understood how much we ought to pray for sinners, and especially for our words. So pray for those people we know, or suppose they are not live rightly. Pray for them. Jesus will give them grace, not for their sake, because they never ask for. They want to entertain. But if you ask, if you have good heart, Jesus will listen. Our life is truly apostolic. I cannot imagine a religious living in one of our houses that is in a community and not having any apostolic spirit. Zeal for the salvation of souls should burn in our hearts. Oh my God, how sweet it is to suffer for you, suffer in the most secret recesses of the heart, in the greatest hiddenness, to burn like a sacrifice noticed by no one, pure as crystal, with no consolation or compassion. My spirit burns in active love. I waste no time in dreaming. I take every moment simply as it comes, for this is within my power. The past does not belong to me. The future is not mine. With all my soul, I try to make use of the present moment. For the sake of offering her life for sinners, for the zeal of apostolic work, although she cannot go to mission, she prayed for the missionaries. That's the Therese of this year. She prayed whole life for peace, for the missions. January 4, 1935. The first chapter of Mother Borgia. At the chapel, Mother Borgia stresses a life of faith and fidelity in small things. Half was through the chapter. I heard this word. What's sister, a minute. What's chapter means? Chapter. Chapter is it the time of the teaching of the rules about the chapter. Chapter. Chapter for the religious order. What's the chapter for you? Sorry?
Chapter.
PTE.
I think it's on a mission, for example, this event or for a group.
Yeah, but usually for community, you have kind of chapter.
For meaning those who are in authority. For example, for us, we are having this provincial chapter in this.
Yeah.
So,
usually the superior in charge and the people sitting down and discuss what we like to do and this then, and then you consult counselors to see what are, this is a kind of chapter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
In other words, what is the for chapter?
It's the convening.
Convening. Okay. So this is a chapter where they discuss for the community. At the chapter, Mother Borgia stresses the life of faith, you know, direction, giving direction, eh? And fidelity in small things. That's the community to listen to Mother Superior. She represents God, no? That moment. Halfway through the chapter, I heard these words. Jesus is talking to her. I decided you would all have more faith at the present time. Jesus says, yeah, we think so many things, but in the future, but the present moment, Jesus stressed, present moment. How great is my joy at the faithfulness of my spouse in the smallest thing. So, that means Jesus agreed with what the superior is saying. Do things with faith and do things fidelity in small things. So it's also for us. And Jesus stressed the present moment. Don't think so much for tomorrow. Or just worry about things of the past. Live the present moment and live well every little things with fidelity. Correct? It's beautiful, huh? Jesus would, huh? Then I looked at the crucifix and saw that Jesus' head was turned toward the refectory and his lips were moving as he was saying something to people. When I told Mother Superior about it, she answered, you see, sister, how Jesus demands that our life be a life of faith. When Mother left for the chapel and I stayed to set the room in order, I heard these words. Tell all the sisters that I demand that they live in the spirit of faith toward the superiors at this present time. I beg my confessor to release me from this duty. Difficult. You ask all the other sisters to listen to the superior. She is nothing, I mean, she is not the superior. Then how dare you ask the other sister, listen to her? Yes, but, you know, As I was talking to a certain person who was to paint, another phrase, as I was talking to a certain person who was to paint the image, but for certain reasons was not painting it, I heard this voice in my soul. I want her to be more obedient. I think the painter is a she. So Jesus says, I want her to be more patient. I think she has no patience to paint all the details. That, you know. I understood that our efforts, no matter how great, are not pleasing to God if they do not bear the zeal of obedience. I'm speaking about a religious soul. Oh God, how easy it is to know your will in the comment. We religious have God's will set clearly before our eyes from morning to night. And in the moments of uncertainty with our superiors through whom God speaks. So you're protected, my sister. The whole day, 24 hours, you live in God's will. Always. Sure. If not sure, ask your superior and more sure. But for they have to pray a lot. Jesus, is it what is the will? What is the will? Okay, go a little bit further. 1934, 1935, New Year's Eve. I was giving permission not to go to sleep, but rather pray in the chapel. A joy for her to stay in the chapel, but our joy is going to sleep. We need to go to sleep. One of the sisters that asked me to offer an hour of adoration for her. I said, yes, and prayed for her for an hour. During the hour, God gave me to understand how very pleasing this soul was to him. I offered the second hour of the adoration for the conversion of sinners. And I tried especially to offer expiation to God for the insults that were being committed against him at this present moment. How greatly God is being offended. I offered the third hour from my spiritual director. I fervently prayed for lights for him in a particular matter. Finally, the clock struck 12, the last hour of the year. I finished it in the name of the Holy Trinity, and also shared the first hour of the new year in the name of the Holy Trinity. I asked each of the three persons to bless me and with great confidence look toward the new year, which certainly would not be sparing of suffering. O blessed host, in whom is contained the testament of God's mercy for us and especially for poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained the body and blood of the Lord Jesus as proof of infinite mercy for us and especially for poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained life eternal and infinite mercy, dispense in abundance to us and especially to poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained the mercy of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit toward us, and especially toward poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained the infinite price of mercy which you compensate for all our debts, and especially those of our sinners, poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained the fountain of living water which springs from the infinite mercy of love, and especially for poor sinners. Okay, we stop here today. All the litanies, all the blessed, for the whole two pages. So let our spirit also praise the Lord with her. Praise the Lord. And thank Jesus.